Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, chapter 19, sloka 6. Navaisa atma atmavatam suhritamaha. Saktas trilokyam bhagavan vasudevaha. Nastrikritam kashmalam ashnuvita. Na lakshmanam chapi vihatum arhati. Navaisa atma mavatam suhritamaha. Saktas trilokyam bhagavan vasudevaha. Nastrikritam kashmalam ashnuvita. Na lakshmanam chapi vihatum arhati. Na vaisa atma atmavatam suhritamaha. Saktas trilokyam bhagavan vasudevaha. Nastrikritam kashmalam ashnuvita. Na lakshmanam chapi vihatum arhati. Next, please.
Yeah.
na, not, by, indeed, saha, he, atma, the supreme soul, atmavatam, of the self-realized souls, suhrit tamaha, the best friend, saktaha, attached, trilokyam, to anything within the three worlds, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudevaha, the All-Pervading Lord, na, not, Sri Kritam, obtained because of his wife, Kashmalam, sufferings of separation, Ashnuvita, would obtain, na, not, Lakshmanam, his younger brother Lakshmana, cha, also, api, certainly, vihatum, to give up, arhati, be able. Translation of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada and purport. Since Lord Sri Ramachandra is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, he is not attached to anything in this material world. He is the most beloved supersoul of all self-realized souls, and he is their very intimate friend. He is full of all opulences. Therefore, he could not possibly have suffered because of separation from his wife, nor could he have given up his wife and Lakshmana, his younger brother. To give up either would have been absolutely impossible. Purport. In defining the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we say that he is full in all six opulences: wealth, fame, strength, influence, beauty, and renunciation. He is called renounced because he is not attached to anything in this material world. He is specifically attached to the spiritual world and the living entities there. The affairs of the material world take place under the superintendence of Durga Devi. Srishti sthiti pralaya sadhana shaktir eka chayeva yasya bhuvanani vibharti durga. Everything is going on under the strict rules and regulations of the material energy represented by Durga. Therefore, the Lord is completely detached and need not give attention to the material world. Sita Devi belongs to the spiritual world. Similarly, Lord Lakshmana, Ramachandra's younger brother, is a manifestation of Sankarshan. And Lord Ramachandra himself is Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Since the Lord is always spiritually qualified, he is attached to the servants who always render transcendental loving service unto him. He is attached to the truth in life, not to Brahmanical qualities. Indeed, he is never attached to any material qualities. Although he is the super soul of all living entities, he is specifically manifest to those who are self-realized, and he is especially dear to the hearts of his transcendental devotees. Because Lord Ramachandra descended to teach human society how dutiful a king should be, he apparently gave up the company of Mother Sita and Lakshmana. Factually, however, he could not have given them up. One should therefore learn about the activities of Lord Ramachandra from a self-realized soul. Then one can understand the transcendental activities of the Lord. Namaisa atma tamatam suhritamaha saktas trilokyam bhagavana sudevaha nastrikritam kashmalam ashnuvitana lakshmanam chapi vihatum arhate. Since the Lord Sri Ramachandra is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vasudeva, he is not attached to anything in this material world. He is the most beloved super soul of all self-realized souls, and he is their very intimate friend. He is full of all opulences. Therefore, he could not possibly have suffered because of separation from his wife, nor could he have given up his wife and Lakshmana, his younger brother? To give up either would have been absolutely impossible. Magyana timrandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshurmitamena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanumana vishtam stapitamena bhutale svayam rupa karamaham dadati svaparantikam tai shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nittananda shri harita gradha shivasari gaura bhakta vrinda hare krishna 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 hare 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 rama hare ram 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 hare hare So Supreme Lord is supremely detached to this material world and is attached to the spiritual world. And our position is opposite. We are supremely detached from spiritual world and we are supremely attached to the material world. Huh? So Prabhupada said that Krishna consciousness movement is meant to train people how to be attached to spiritual world and how to develop detachment for material world. Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janati Vasu Ashvairagyam Prasit Gyanam Chayat Ahaitukam. So, if one performs devotional service properly under the guidance of spiritual master, the natural consequence is jnana and vairagya. That means knowledge and renunciation. So we can observe in our lives how knowledge and renunciation is becoming more dominant. The devotional service practice is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita like if you are cooking sugarcane juice. So it is sweet in the beginning and it is sweet at the end. But if you cook in the beginning, it is very liquid. Huh? If you go here to this devotee who is squeezing these sugarcane sticks, you can get sugarcane juice. And it's very sweet, but it's liquid. It's not solid. But if you cook it, it will become more thick, like thick porridge. And then if you cook it more, it will become actually rock candy. It will become very hard. And that, what is the result of our practice? If we practice properly, then our conviction for Krishna and for spiritual world and for devotional service will become very solid, hard like a rock. In the beginning, well, beginning is a relative term. Somebody can be in the beginning 1 year, somebody can be beginning 100 lifetimes. But let's say in the beginning of our devotional life, it's liquid. It's not so solid. Devotional service is something we cannot really grasp it. What is actually this devotional service? Is it the cleaning the floor? Or distributing the books? Or it is everything? What is this? It is this external activity? Devotional service. No? Many times devotees are saying, I remember that we have to do some practical service. So it's chanting and hearing, this is one service, but then we have to do practical service. We have to clean the floor, we have to wash the dishes, we have to cook. No. You have to understand that Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Parasavanam, Marcha, everything, all aspects are actually on the same level of devotional service. And what is this devotional service? Is this external activity? External activity? No, it is our attitude towards the Lord. Because sometimes we can do some activity. Apparently, it can look like devotional service. But if our motivation is to satisfy ourselves, to satisfy our senses, that means our motivation is selfish. I spoke yesterday on Bhagavad Gita class here that if we are jealous of Krishna, so maybe externally we performing devotional service but internally not, then we cannot connect. Then we cannot get this connection, this feeling of the Supreme Lord, of His presence. And then also devotional service is not solid for us. It's not something which we can rely on. And also Krishna is not something we can rely on because it's something is described here in the books, but I cannot see it in my life. Because my heart, my motivation, my interest is separated from Krishna. Although I may be engaged in devotional service, but because I am not engaging fully. What is it? Ihayasya haridasi karmana manasa gira. You have to engage everything. We have to engage our words, our body, and also the mind. That's usually where we are facing a little difficulty. We can engage our words, we can engage even our body, but the mind is so difficult to give up. We always think, that's me, I have to keep it for myself. But actually it's not ours. It's not us and it's not ours, it is Krishna's. But we don't want to surrender this to Krishna. Many times you can catch yourself, you do certain activity and then my mind is completely somewhere else. I don't remember the details, but there was some pujari and Krishna appeared. I think Jananyas Prabhu, he will be aware of that story. And Krishna appeared in a dream of another person. He said that he likes very much this pujari because he is conscious while he is doing puja. He is aware of me. Because many times when we do some things, we are thinking something else. Or we are thinking of achievement, something else than is a devotional service. Or achievement, achievement of devotional service. Because if you look the prayers, the highest standard prayers of the most advanced devotees, what they are praying for? They are praying for pure devotional service. So what does it mean? They cannot do any service? They can come to temple? Here come, everybody comes doing some service. Even people who comes here, they do some seva, they go for darshan, they see the deities, deities sees them. No, but it's actually not the real essence. Because the mind is not present there with the pure motivation. Therefore they are praying for pure devotional service. That means that they are praying for the state of consciousness they can attain. They can attain the consciousness where they will be able, without any motivation, to fix on the Supreme Lord. Whatever you do, you will be able to just do it for Krishna without any expectation in return. That what is the goal. Of course, there is so many things, others, which are distracting us from Krishna. But if we follow properly the process of devotional service under the guidance of spiritual master or spiritual masters, as Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami is addressing and saying prayers to all his spiritual masters. So whoever is able to instruct us and inspire us in devotional service is considered our spiritual master. So by proper following, we can actually develop that jnana and vairagya. It means jnana means transcendental knowledge. You can observe on your life how much you are able to develop transcendental knowledge. Is it only theoretical, what you read in the book? Or it is something which you live in your life, which you see without even memorizing it. Sometimes we can say, transcendental knowledge, then we can quote some shlokas, we can repeat something what we have read, but are we applying in daily life? Are we living it? Then that's mean actually acquired transcendental knowledge, or let's say vigyan. That's transcendental knowledge considered. Gyan is just the beginning. If you acquire gyan and you don't acquire vigyan, you are remaining on the surface. Then also vairagya will not come. From what will come vairagya? You are not realizing anything. You just understand theoretically by intellectual platform, perfect. Maybe you are very intelligent. And you can combine philosophy, you can understand shlokas from different angles and like that. And you can repeat the books, what Srila Prabhupada wrote. But if you are not applying, then this doesn't come vijnana. And if the vijnana will not come, then vairagya will not come also. And then you will be facing the problems. Because the mind will be overpowering you. That's how is it working. Because jnana and vairagya will allow you to go above the level of the mind. Otherwise, mind is all the time controlling the jiva. If he is in conditioned state, he's controlling him in material world. Of course, he's controlled, you can say, consequently by Daivihesha Gunamaya Imama Maya Duratyaya, by this energy of the Lord is controlled. But there are certain agents, and one of them is our mind, which is influenced by material desires and by material energy. And then it's controlling us. You can see, for example, if you pick up services which are maybe not so comfortable for you, then immediately you see the first reaction, what comes, you can see is the mind. It's not you. I don't want, you know. If there is, sometimes there are these lists for the services. Yeah? You spoke about it the other day on the class. If there are some services which are like very, you are in the center of attention, we are looking for some kirtan leaders, then so many devotees, they will feel awe if they will approach you. Prabhuji, can you kirtan? Here will be 1,000 devotees, you know, you are very important. All will feel, oh yeah, of course, I can do this kind of service, it's very nice. And Prabhuji, also after kirtan, we will need if you can clean the floor of temple. Because you'll be here already. Okay, I'll do also. So, mine is just, you can see it is just accepting and rejecting. But it's only material. We are not accepting the real essence of devotional service. Because what is dear to Krishna is our attitude. How we are trying to please Him. The everything else is secondary. And karmani vadikaraste ma phaleshu karachana ma karma phala heturbur mate sangostva karmani. These results, what you acquire in devotional service, it will come anyway. It's not, you are not entitled actually to achieve that results. You cannot enjoy them. Krishna says you have right to perform your duty, but you don't have right to enjoy the results of your activities. I opened so many temples, I distributed so many books, I am a very important person, I am manager, under me is serving so many people, I am, because of me, these things are happening. This everything is secondary. If your attitude is not proper, you are not achieving that much as you could achieve. Of course, because we are engaged here in this movement, everything is connected with Krishna. But if our consciousness is aside of that, we cannot achieve the level of jnana and vairagya. And without that, it's very difficult to overcome the mind and actually be really happy. Of course, you can go more deeply. What is the root? Why we cannot achieve this jnana and vairagya? So you can analyze from one angle that because there is some selfishness, because there is some separate motive. We want to have something for this body or whatever is connected with that body. Doesn't matter how expanded it is. Maybe we want something for the senses of this body, or for the senses of my wife, of my children, or for my community, my society, my nation. But still, it is something which is separate interest from interest of the Lord. Therefore, this selfish nature, this envy of Krishna is manifesting in this way, that you don't want to actually give up your personal desires for the sake of serving the Supreme Lord. And then it's difficult to acquire higher transcendental levels. You cannot stay on the platform of jnana and vairagya. You cannot be on the platform Brahma, Bhuta and Prasanatma. You will be all the time up and down, up and down. Because we don't want to give up any these material desires which are actually just connected with the body. Lord Ramachandra, he is perfect example of detachment. And also our acharyas, Srila Prabhupada, our teachers, they are example of perfect detachment. When Srila Prabhupada was leaving this material world, just imagine, he was, because when people who are, for example, people who are rich and successful, they are very lamentable, or how is it said? Lamentable? They're lamenting. Yeah, they are lamenting a lot because they are losing something they consider valuable. And when Srila Prabhupada was leaving this world, there was nothing like it. Oh, I'm leaving this great society. I have so many disciples, so many properties, so much money, so many temples. Everything is mine and I have to go. No, there was nothing like that. It was completely detached. At the same time, perfectly executing his duties. Because like here it is said that Lord Ramachandra, he could not possibly have suffered because of separation from his wife, nor could he have given up his wife and Lakshman. So you can see there is both. At the same time, you are trying in the best way to execute your duty, and on the other side, you are completely detached from that. You are not identifying with it. Oh, this is my position, you know, I am executing, I am organizing this, I'm a very important person, because of me this is happening, I distributed so many books, so you can see there is something missing. And what is this missing? It's Krishna missing. Because this I will become so big. We are in the center, we are in the center of our attention, we are trying to make all others to be, to understand that we are the center of attention. And this I become more important than Krishna. So by cultivating jnana, properly applying in our daily life, we will acquire vijnana. And then we will also acquire vairagya. The Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu says, how it goes? Anasaktasya vishayam yatharham upayinjataha nirbandah Krishna sambande yukta vairagyam uchate prapanchikataya buddha hari sambandhi vastunaha mumukshubhih parityago vairagyam phalgu katyate. I'm bad in translations. When one is not attached to anything but at the same time accepts anything in relation to Krishna, is rightly situated above possessiveness. On the other hand, one who rejects everything without knowledge of its relationship to Krishna is not complete in his renunciation. To the degree we are applying this in our lives also, we can see how much we are actually rightly situated about possessiveness. And as devotee is progressing in his life, this expertise how to utilize everything in Krishna's service is increasing. So maybe in the beginning we are able to use these external things, like gross material things. Then maybe later we are able to even engage people and their energy. And also we will learn how to engage our internal body, the subtle body, in Krishna's service. In the beginning we are using the external body, but by practice we will learn how to use also the subtle body, which is actually more important. Because when this gross body will fall apart, the subtle body remains, and then is transferring the soul into the next body. So if this subtle body is fully transformed into spiritual energy, into Krishna consciousness, then we will be transferred to the spiritual world. It can sound like nice theory, but then we have to look in our daily practice. If we are, how we are engaged during our daily activities, how much we are applying the philosophy in daily life, then there is always measurement how much jnana and vairagya, or let's say how much vijnana and vairagya we are acquiring. And then also you see how much you are happy. I visited the house of a devotee in one European country, and he had on his shelf so many books, but it was not Krishna conscious literature. It was books about psychology, about successful marriage, about relationships, and like that. Actually, later on, the devotee got divorced. He was reading, actually. He was trying to actually educate me in that field. He was trying to inspire me that this is very important. There are this good knowledge in these books and like that. But it cannot help, actually, because it's dealing only with the surface. It's not dealing with the core of the problem. Like when Parikshit Maharaj, he is asking, what's the use of atonement if the desires, they are remaining in the heart? We have here elephants, you can go and look. They take nice bath, they have nice pool there. So they brush them with some brooms and like that. And they really like it. But when they go out, immediately they take first the dirt and immediately start to throw on themselves. So that's because the desires in the heart are remaining. So even if there is some atonement, you cannot give up that. So Parikshit Maharaj is asking, what is the use? Better is to clean the heart, and then you will naturally give up all these things. So Prabhupada explaining, you will become attached to Krishna, automatically you will become detached from this world. Of course, it should go simultaneously. We cultivate detachment, at the same time we cultivate attachment for Krishna. Or let's say, we cultivate attachment for Krishna, and at the same time cultivate detachment from this world. Because that's secondary. It will come anyway. If you are actually focused on Krishna, it will come naturally, the detachment from this world. So what we have to do, we have to focus on the core of the problem, not on the surface. It will not heal the disease. Devotees, they're thinking that all nowadays, or the devotee actually, he told me that he and his wife, they were telling me that Srila Prabhupada books are impractical. We have some relationship problem, we have some psychological problem. So we have to approach some experts. But if you look, who is the biggest expert? Krishna is expert in everything. Then those who are following him, they are also experts, naturally. For example, I was thinking, Bhagavad Gita. What is Bhagavad Gita? This is the therapeutic session. There is a person who is depressed. And you can imagine the person who was considered the greatest warrior of all times. Not only warrior, he was a king, he was a very powerful person, he was successful in material field. The person who achieved the top in the society. And did that person end up completely depressed, devastated? Or to that degree that he could even hold his Gandiva bow. It fell down from his hand, so that means he was shaking, he was completely like, he didn't know what to do. Arjuna is saying that my body is burning. I feel like burning. There is a dry, completely, I cannot breathe. He's completely finished. And then Krishna, within half an hour, Prabhupada saying, Bhagavad Gita was maybe half an hour or 1 hour discussion. So people are coming here from one session, therapeutic, to another. Before Krishna consciousness, I was interested in these things. I was reading so many books about psychology and psychiatry, and I was visiting several, how is it called, these therapeutic sessions, how to remove your traumas from previous this life or previous lives even. But it worked only for a short time, and then it was coming back. Why? Because they are not dealing with the core. They are dealing on the surface. You know, like you have something very dirty. The dirt is there, you know, like dust and moisture and a little bit dust and a little moisture, and become really thick, you know. And then again some fresh dust will come. And you will come with the broom, you will sweep it and you say, oh, it's clean. You know? I mean, this is Indian style of cleaning, usually. You clean on the surface. But no, you have to go to the deep. You have to take and scratch it out, you know. You have to understand what is beyond, how deep is this dirt. So this is what is happening by applying Krishna conscious process. It will not happen if you apply some other process. What is Rupa Goswami speaking in Upanishamrita, Nectar of Instructions? This is perfect. This is advice how to live your life, how to deal with other people, how to deal with your mind, how to deal with your senses, if some difficulties comes, what you should do, how you should relate with other people, how you should accept dealings of other people. Everything is there. You don't have to study it separately. Bhagavad Gita is only dealing with problem of the person and his mind. So whatever problem we have in our life, we just take shelter in teaching of Krishna and presented by Srila Prabhupada, and in this way we can remove all problems. And then if you apply properly, then Jnana and Vairagya will come. And what is beyond Jnana and Vairagya is Brahma, Buddha, Prasanatma. Then you will become naturally happy because you will remain on a transcendental platform. While you are trying to practice, you are coming slowly on transcendental platform. Those who are trying, they have this experience that here and there, you come there. And then it's very nice, how you feel some relief, like, wow, the monks are not pushing me. That's nice. And you feel equal to everybody. Everybody is the same platform. And you don't lament, you don't design anything, and then, boop, again you fall down. But when you practice, again, Krishna can give you a little taste. How is it? And like this, slowly go up. One point you remain there. So that's the goal. That by following what Krishna is teaching us, you acquire the jnana. By acquiring jnana, you apply, you acquire vijnana. Then you will achieve vairagya, detachment. And then from this, easy, you continue Brahma, Buddha, Prasanatma. And then then you actually can start pure devotional service, because then you are not troubled anymore by your desires, because you understand it's not me. These are scams, but you think, ah, this is coming all the time. This come again today, ah, okay. And again this, and again that. So this coming, this will be coming all the time. Even if you are liberated platform, Yamunacharya, is it? He's praying that when this, he was very elevated devotee, but when this thought for the sex desire, for enjoying sex with a woman comes to my mind, I spit on it. That was his realization. It came, but said, ah, what is this? It's not important. So same way. When we are progressing, desires are coming. Some are a little more deep. Some more, they are waiting. But same way as you are progressing, Krishna is giving you more strength. So you are always actually on superior platform. Krishna will never give you a test which you cannot overcome. So actually if you surrender to Krishna, you can always surpass that obstacle. And you can always actually be... Krishna says, Kauntiya Pratijani Hiname Bhakta Parashati. My devotee is never lost. So you surrender to Krishna, he will give you strength, he will give you intelligence, he will give you proper association, he will give you everything. He will give you all facilities how to overcome this problem. And then be successful in your life. Achieve platform of Jnana Vairagya, be completely detached from this world, be completely attached to him. And at the end, go home back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada ki jaya. Is there some question or comment?
Hare Krishna. It's a comment. Actually, you touched on the principle of Yukta Vairagya. It's a very important principle and most of the time misunderstood principle, because we think Vairagya is a nice platform to get whatever we want and say that, oh, I'm getting this for the service of the Lord. But the most important thing to verify if we are in Bhogatyaga platform or in Yukta Vairagya platform is that if we don't have the facility, what is our situation? Our default situation should be Vairagya, then we can go to Uddha Vairagya. Without developing Vairagya, we cannot get into the platform of Uddha Vairagya. Normally there is some problem there. That's the comment.
That reminds me, when Narada Muni was traveling and searching for the devotee who is receiving the, let's say, the biggest favor of the Lord. In the beginning he met with Brahmana, who was, he considered him that you are the one who is the recipient of the biggest mercy of the Lord. And that Brahmana, he was actually very rich, very opulent. But what is mentioned there, that he was engaging all his riches, all his opulence in the service of the Lord. I remember one devotee told me that his situation is materially going good, and let's say better. So he told me this is the mercy of Krishna. So according to what I understood and I studied, I understood that mercy of Krishna is something more actually. So I inquired of seniors, my spiritual master as well, if it is mercy of Krishna, if we are receiving material wealth and like that. Because many times we see devotees, they receive material wealth, but they are becoming actually attached to it. And that is distracting them from devotional service also. It, of course, in the name of service, we are acquiring it, but at the end, we are not using it. And he told me that till the degree you are using these material assets in the service of Krishna, he said, if you are 100% using it in the service of Krishna, then it is 100% mercy of Krishna. But if you are using 50% in the service of Krishna and 50% of Maya, then it is 50% of mercy of Maya and 50% mercy of Krishna. So you can determine how much mercy of Krishna you want to receive. Also in that story of Narada Muni meeting with this Brahmana, it is actually explained that it was mercy of Krishna that this Brahmana was so rich and successful and like that. But it explained that it is considered lower level of mercy. That there are different levels actually of mercy of the Lord. And it's considered it is lower level of mercy. It's considered actually the highest level of mercy of the Lord, that you are not, you don't want anything from material world. You want only, like gopis. They were not concerned for anything. Even they were living in the Vedic times, Vedic society here, especially when the pastimes of Gokul was happening. And they abandoned their husbands. At that time, nowadays, it's a little different situation. Nobody's much serious about that. But at that time, it was considered great offense. They abandoned everything. In the middle of the night, they went to meet with another man. So that's considered the highest, actually. And then highest mercy of Krishna. Later on, actually, Narada Muni, he will find out that, I mean, he knows, but this is for our education. So he will find out that the highest mercy of Krishna is actually to be completely attached to Krishna and service to him, and not wanting anything for yourself, for your benefit, for your improvement or your life, or removing obstacles on your path. You are not considered for anything. That's actually the considered highest mercy. So it is one kind of mercy, but it's not considered the highest. Yeah, good point, Prabhu. Thank you. Yes, Prabhu.
You mentioned how Narada Muni was seeking out one who is receiving the most mercy from Krishna. And you spoke on this Brahman who was receiving opulence. But in the Bhagavad Gita, it tells us that if you are truly my devotee, I will take everything away from you. So if we're left with nothing, then our only dependency would be Krishna. So we have wealth, we feel independent, we don't need Krishna for this or for that or for this or for that, but if we have nothing, then everything is going to be whatever the Lord gives us, and in that way we are satisfied. To have nothing is better than to have opulence.
Yeah, I think if I can add that it requires certain humility to accept that situation when it comes. It requires certain, how to say, sincerity, that we pray to the Lord that He will give us strength to accept that situation and understand the situation properly. Sometimes it can react on devotees that they will feel like that they actually not having mercy of Krishna. But if they continue sincerely, then they will understand that actually it is mercy of Krishna, although it doesn't appear in the beginning like that.
Using Raghunath Das Goswami as an example, coming from a very wealthy family and abandoning everything, even in the forms of foodstuffs, eating very, 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 very simple foods, and not concerned at all for any of his material well-beings, just accepting the mercy of Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada said that this eating, sleeping, mating and defending should go till nil, zero. Then when we are completely detached from these bodily needs, we are also open to the receiving the mercy of Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu. Hello, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for your wonderful class. I'm a little bit confused. Maybe you can help to alleviate my confusion. In the beginning of the class, you mentioned how Krishna is fully attached to the spiritual world and detached from the material world. But we're attached to the material world and we're detached from the spiritual world. So my confusion is about Krishna's quality of Atmaram. He's self-satisfied and to my understanding, that means he's detached. So I can understand how Krishna is detached from the material world, but does it also make sense that Krishna would have a certain detachment also from the spiritual world?
No, Atmarama is speaking. Well, originally this shloka Atmarama Chamunayo speaks about the persons who, although they are fully, let's say, self-realized and satisfied in their hearts, still they feel attraction to the Krishna. So you can see that what is the nature of Atmaramas? They are feel attracted to Krishna. And Krishna is Atmarama in this sense, what Srila Prabhupada is explaining here. He's Atmarama regarded to this material world. He doesn't require anything. But he is fully attached to his devotees. That's what I understand. How it is explained, if you maybe would like to add something.
Yesterday we were hearing from His Grace Janani Vas Prabhu about how Krishna enjoys being known as Bhaktavatsala, one who protects his devotees, one who loves his devotees, one who's very kind to his devotees. So in this way, what you're saying makes a lot of sense to me, because Bhaktavatsala is someone who's attached to his devotees, and he likes that quality. That's endearing, that's appealing, that's attractive. Krishna's all attractive. So one quality that makes Krishna attractive is he's Bhaktavatsala, he's attached to his devotees. And the spiritual world is contained, is filled, is full of Krishna's devotees. Mm. So what you're saying makes perfect, absolute sense to me, that yes, Krishna would be attached to the spiritual world because Krishna is attached to the devotees and the spiritual world is filled with devotees.
It came to my mind now when you were speaking that this material world is not made for Krishna's purpose or for Krishna's pleasure. It's actually made because of us. Sachinandan Maharaj, he said when he was new Bhakta, he asked Srila Prabhupada on a class, why Krishna created Maya? The Prabhupada looked at him and said, you created Maya. So why would Krishna feel actually anything like some attachment to the thing which is actually created for somebody else's purpose, and it's temporary? It's actually the whole creation is complete opposite to the nature of the Lord. Is it Achit, Nirananda, what is it, Sachit, Sat, and Asat. It is temporary, full of ignorance, and it is full of misery. So why Krishna, who is full of Sat, Chit, and Ananda, would be attached to something which is completely opposite, contradicting his nature practically? And whatever the jivas are doing within this creation is contradicting his creation, or let's say the another superior nature, Vyakta Vyakta Sanatana, and his nature itself and the nature of his devotees there. Of course he will not be attached. So in this way he will show one who is opulence, which is renunciation, which means detachment. This place I don't need. But where he is at home, that's different. This is his place where he likes to be and where everything is in harmony. Therefore, there is this transcendental attachment. Yes, Prabhu?
Also yesterday in Janani Vas Prabhu's class, he brought up the point that during the Rasalila dance, when the gopis were becoming a little bit puffed up, Krishna left them. So this is another sign of his detachment. So he is attached to his devotees, and then in turn he left them. Just like when he left Vrindavan and went to Dwarka. So for more than 100 years separated from the dearly beloved gopis, his mother and father here, they in turn in their hearts were always attached to Krishna. But Krishna became an opulent king, accepted 16,108 wives, had families, children, and engaged in so many political activities in his kingdoms. So he was detached. His attachment and detachment is reversible. So.
Although there were some moments in Dwaraka where he's showing great attachment for his Vrajavasis, correct? But this not on a regular base, sometimes it happens. Okay, something urgent?
Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada said that happiness from sex life is at best 10th class happiness. And in Nectar of Devotion it is mentioned that happiness derived from Brahmananda is when it is multiplied trillionfold, something like that, that is the happiness derived from devotional service. So, I mean, I just want to ask you, still mentally, intellectually, how do I adjust just to get, like, you know, make the material happiness completely, like, get disgusted of it and be fascinated, amazed by the spiritual world and the happiness in the spiritual world, you know? How can I magnify it in my mind that, you know, I want to go to the spiritual world? How much happiness is there and how bad this happiness is? Because still that material happiness is taking some place in the mind. But I want that the spiritual world and its happiness should be prominent in my mind. Am I clear?
Yeah. By listening, hearing Shravana Kirtanam about those places, you will naturally develop attachment for such a places. On other side, we should not try to understand it. It's not possible. You have to realize it. You have to live it. You cannot understand how is the happiness from devotional service, how it is, what does it mean million times stronger than Brahmanda happiness? and then Brahma Bhuta happiness. And how this Brahma Bhuta is a million times more than this material happiness. That's only comparison to show how unimportant are these different kind of happiness, like Brahma Bhuta platform or material happiness. But you cannot understand it with your present state of consciousness. Because our consciousness is so much influenced by matter, you cannot understand something what is beyond. But by listening about that, your consciousness will be purified. Nityam bhagavata sevaya, every day, regularly. Atakshi krishna manina bhavet graham indra sevam mukhe jvara swayame purati adaha. By nicely chanting the holy name, taking Krishna prasadam, listening Bhagavata katha, you will naturally develop attachment for these places like spiritual road, and then you will start to understand how is this happiness. So this is to inspire us. It's not that we will figure out, you will understand how is that. You will not understand. It will come. By practice, if you properly practice, you'll be getting slowly small candies. Krishna will be giving you a little candy. Oh, that was sweet. One more. Also sweet. One more. And more often. And bigger candy. Like that. One point, you are swimming in the candies. It's just the candies, nothing else. It's devotional service. So, you will understand it by practice. Shri Prabhupada ki, Jai Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Jai Gopremananda.